I'm teaching tonight, continuing our studies on rightly dividing the word of truth, and tonight I'm teaching on rightly dividing the word of truth concerning God's love and man's love. I could also title our study tonight, The Only Way, let me see if I have a subtitle here, yes, The Key to All Human Relationships. The Key to All Human Relationships. Are you having any problem with human beings? Are there any human beings with whom you're having no problems? But tonight, I really am. I'm going to give you nothing spectacular, but something wonderful concerning the key to the proper relationship between human beings. All, every human relationship, this will be the key to it being a successful one. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14. Make it verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. And I want you to keep your Bibles open there throughout the entire discussion tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Paul had somehow or other had some kind of a wrong. He was asking forgiveness for it. I'll share it with you in a few minutes. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Well, that'd be a good text for a sermon. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, and this is my text verse tonight, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Let's just go on. That I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you. I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Our Heavenly Father, what a book, and what truths. We come tonight to this one. Help us to learn something more about love. Real love, true love, God's love. Amen. And now, Father, we come to the teaching of Thy Word and this subject that might be a little harder to follow than others, but what a subject it is. May we teach it aright and learn it carefully. Amen. Most of our human relationship problems are caused because we do not get from someone what we want to get from them. You remember the sermon I preached a few Sunday mornings ago entitled The Idolatry of Friendship? I guess you don't. And if you did, I had an amazing impression on you. I'm so glad that God moved in such a wonderful way that morning. And I'm sure that tonight I'll be just as impressive as I was then. I know I've forgotten that sermon. In fact, I don't think I preached on a subject like that at all. But I want you to follow me because there are some young wives, young husbands just married. You're having troubles, and you need to hear what I'm going to say. There are some parents tonight who misunderstand their teenagers. In fact, there are no parents who don't misunderstand their teenagers. And there are teenagers that don't understand mom and dad. And I want to share with you tonight what I think is a great, marvelous truth. Paul said, Look at verse 15 again there, would you please? Your Bible's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 again. This is a sad verse. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I think it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Now what did Paul mean? Now follow me and I'll tell you. Paul meant this. I want to make five statements under that question. Number one, the more you love like God, the less you love like man. Man's word for love is the word phileo. God invented a word for love, which was not a part of the Greek language before the Bible, the New Testament was written. It's the word agape. It's a deep, abiding love. Now, 99% of the people in this room love phileo. You love somebody, that means you want to be near them. That means that they affect your senses. You like to look at them. You like to feel them. You like to hear them. There's something about them that affects your senses. Now, I'm saying you're fine Christian folks, but 99% of the people in this room tonight haven't got the foggiest idea what the word love means. And I don't mean to be unkind, but I can be unkind and not mean to be unkind. But I do want to say that I'm not talking about the world now. The world's love, the word for love, would be eros sometimes. But our word would be phileo. I'm talking about Christian people. The average Christian person hasn't got the foggiest idea what love means. If he did, he'd never get mad. He'd never be offended. He'd never be hurt. He'd never get angry. If he knew what love was. Real Bible love has nothing to do with any of those words or attributes whatsoever. So I said the first thing, the more you love like God, the less you love like man. Second thing, you then want love like you give. Now follow me. We want to be loved like we love. When you love, you'd like to have what you give. I'll be honest with you. I'd like for folks to love me like I love. I think, thanks to my mother and thanks to God, I think I've learned in my life how to love. But I'll be honest with you, I get a little hungry sometimes for somebody to feel toward me like I feel toward them. I wonder sometimes, I want people who've been here 20 years in this church to feel like I feel toward them. I mean, you know, it's one of the hardest things I have to realize, and Brother Creed, you or any other pastor knows this, and that is that many of our people, we're no more important to them than the barber. And they'll change barbers on one bad haircut. We're just—we're no more to them than the beautician is, and one bad permanent, and you will change beauticians. In fact, few of you ought to change immediately. But we're no more than the druggist. If there's a sale for the same thing down the street, that's hard for a pastor to comprehend. A pastor who loves his people—it's awfully hard to comprehend. That 20 years or 15 years or 10 years or 25 years would not build up a love that would keep us together for a lifetime. It's awfully hard for us. And you want that. You want to be loved like you love. Did you know that 90% of the problems in this room, between young couples especially, is caused because the husband wants the wife to love him like he loves her, or the wife wants the husband to love her like she loves him? That's a normal, natural thing. All right, I said the first thing, the more you love like God, the less you love like man. I said the second thing, you then want love like you give. And the third thing is, you don't get it. Are you listening to me? You don't get it. Because the more you love like God, the less you'll be loved like you love. So the closer you get to His love, the farther you get from man's love, the less you're going to feel like your love. I said, number one, the more you love like God, the less you love like man. I said, number two, you then want love like you give. I said, number three, you don't get it. Number four, you then do not feel loved. Now, the truth is, or you feel less loved, even though you aren't less loved. Let me illustrate what I mean. Dr. Evans, you be God. Stand up there, God, would you please? And let's see. Brother O'Clair, you be man. He's near God as you are to being a man, too. Stand up right there, would you please? All right. And, all right. And, Brother Jorgensen, you be a Christian. Boy, none of this is cast right. You stand right here. Good. Okay. Now, here's man, and here's God. Man loves phileo, fondness. I guess I could describe phileo the senses. Your senses, they appeal to your senses. There's such language as, I've just got to have you. I can't live without you. You're the answer to my prayers. You're my dream boat. That boat sinks quickly, I tell you for sure. You're all that I ever wanted in a woman or a man. See, all that is phileo. You either look good to me, you smell good to me, or you feel good to me, or you sound good to me. And that's phileo. It's a love of the senses. Now, I'm not saying it's always a bad love, but it is the way man loves. I just love her. She's the sweetest thing. That's phileo. That's man's love. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. It's, he's such a good fella. I just love him to death. What is that? That's phileo. You see, when you get agape, you love him to death if he's not a good fella. When you get agape, you love him to death if he's not sweet. Then you love her if she's not the sweetest thing in the whole world. So, here is a man here that is, he's loving. This is going to be a scale of love here. Now, as he begins to love more, stop there. Notice, he's loving God more. He's loving like God more. He's getting more closer to God's love. And as he gets closer to God's love, he gets farther from man's love. And then he gets closer to God's love, and closer to God's love. I think he is. And closer to God's love, and closer to God's love. He doesn't want to get there, but I won't make him. All right, I notice that. The closer he gets to the love of God, the farther he gets to the love of man. All right, now, if he loves, turn around where you are, Brother Johnson. If he loves man here, he's loving him with the love of God. You understand what I'm trying to say? And the more he loves him like God, he's over here loving him like man. So he loves him like God. He loves him like man. So you feel less love. Now you go back over there where he was. Where he is. All right. Okay. Now then. Don't hurt him now. And so, all right. Now then, turn around and face him. You love him, don't you, Dr. Jorgensen? And Dr. O'Clair, you love him, don't you? Mr. O'Clair, you love him. All right. Not much, but you love him. All right, now, Mr. Jorgensen now feels loved. Why does he feel loved? Because you want the love that you give. Please, I don't know what you're doing over there, but I really have got something to teach you, whether you believe it or not. Now, let me make a statement, and I probably, this is touchy now, so don't laugh at this. I made a statement to our preacher boys, our boys one Saturday night in the class. I made this statement that a lot of those fellas in the class were mental homosexuals. Now, but don't snicker. I said mental homosexuals. Physically, they're attracted to the female. But emotionally, they want the same kind of love from the female that they give to the female. But females don't love like males. I shouldn't say this in front of women because I'm going to get half the crowd mad at me. I'll just simply say that just as there's a biological difference in the way a man loves and a woman loves, even so there is an emotional difference in the way that a man loves and the way a woman loves. So, but what happens is this. The average husband wants his wife to love him like he loves her. But that's not possible. He knows how he feels. You follow me? He does not know how she feels. Since he does not know how she feels, he insists that she feel like he feels because he wants to get from her the same thing that he feels toward her. Now, here they are over here, similar like this. Here are two men, and I'm talking about loving each other now in the sense that, that they're good friends, and this is a holy thing and not sinful. They're good friends, and they love each other. All right? Now then, Mr. Jorgensen now feels loved. Why? You tell me. Because he is receiving what? Same kind of that he is. And that's what we want. We should not want that, but that's what we want. We want the same. And that's what Paul is saying. God bless Paul. Paul was saying, I want to apologize to you. He said, I wanted from you the same kind of love that I had for you, and I realized that was wrong. I apologize to you. I'm sorry I did this thing. I wanted you to love me like I love you. But as Mr. Jorgensen grows in grace, now then, he feels less loved. Why? Because he's loving him more like God loves than like man loves. And he is not receiving the same kind of love that he's giving. You understand what I'm saying now? I want you to see yourself in here somewhere now. So he keeps on growing in love. And as he grows in love, he loves more like God loves. And as he loves more like God loves, he loves him more. Is that right? But he feels less loved. The more you love like God, the less loved you're going to feel. Why? Because the only criterion by which you have to judge his love is your love. Now, here he is loving more like God, but he does not love him like God because his growth is not kept up with his. Consequently, he loves him deeper, more deeply than he did, but he loves him the same way he always did. But he hungers for the same love from him that he gives to him, but doesn't get it. And that's why Paul said, the more I love, the less I am loved. That's what he's saying. All right, now he continues to grow in love. And grow until finally he arrives at, all right, I turn around, face Mr. Jordan, Mr. LeClaire. Now then, he loves him with true godly love. I mean real, honest, godly love. You know, we Christians talk about this cheap Hollywood love. Well, the truth is, ours is pretty cheap itself. Hollywood has eros, which is basically your physical, sensuous love. And our love is phileo, which is also sensuous love, in that it is that which is attracted to our senses. You know, she ought to date him. He sure is cute. I love you with all my heart. You're the prettiest thing I ever saw. That's way down there. Way down there. But the man or woman in this room tonight who feels the least loved is the woman whose love is right there or the man whose love is right there. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that you want what you're giving. Is that right? Don't you wish that he were down there so he could love you back like you love him? But he's not. He's back there where you used to be. And he loves you like he always loved you. But you don't love him the same. You love him more deeply. But you don't feel love. Now, you felt love back there because you got from him the same love you gave to him. But you don't feel love now because you're not getting from him the same love that you gave to him. Thank you, brethren. I'm through with you for now. So, Paul, by the way, that's what it means in Luke 14:26, I think, where Jesus said, you're not worthy of me unless you come after me and hate your mother and hate your father. What's he talking about? He's talking about you feel hated when you love down there. You feel like he doesn't love you because he does not feel like you feel. He still loves you because of the senses. You're nice, you're friendly, you're courteous, you're a lot of fun, and that's why he loves you. But you love him deeply, but you do not get from him what you want, so you don't feel love, and that's what Jesus was talking about in Luke 26, I think it is. And when he said, you've got to hate your mother. Jesus is not saying hate your mother. He's not saying hate your father, hate your brother, hate your sister. He's saying that compared to the love that God wants you to have, that is real love, the love between mother and father, listen, will seem like hate. Now, if you don't believe it, you listen to me. In this room tonight, and I'll make somebody mad at me as sure as I'm standing here, but in this room tonight, I can tell you that many people, families, who have brothers and sisters who won't speak because of a disagreement on the settlement concerning the will of one or both of their parents. That's real love, isn't it? That's brother-sister love. You can stop it just like that if the senses are not satisfied. Listen, the average mother in this room tonight loves her child with the kind of love Eau Claire has. Sorry about that. But that love. You love the child because it's sweet. You love the child because it's cute. You want what the child can do for you. I want to say some things. I better not. But I'll simply make one little statement here. I talked to mothers who, young ladies who are carrying babies, going to give birth to a baby out of wedlock. And I always advise them to place the baby up for adoption in a good Christian home. Two reasons. A lot of folks won't want to agree with this. That's okay. You won't change me on it because this is the belief I've had for 40 years. But I'm simply saying that baby has a right to have a home and not a mother on welfare. That baby has a right to have a Christian mother and a Christian father. And the teenage girl that's pregnant needs to go back and finish her life also. So I always, they don't do it anymore because there's no shame anymore involved in it hardly. They don't do it. Used to, they did it all the time. But I'm saying, well, I can't give the baby up. I am, what's the next word? Attached by now. Attached. What is that? I like the baby's presence. Now, I'm not criticizing that kind of love. I'm simply saying that that's what kind of love that Jesus is talking about when he says you're supposed to love God so much that the normal loves are like hate. All right, now, Paul apologizes. Now, listen carefully to this. Paul says, I am the stronger, and I made a mistake, and I'm sorry, because I loved you so deeply and so dearly that I made a mistake and expected you to love me back like I love you. But you don't love me back like I love you. And Paul said, we had a strained, hear me now, we had a strained relationship, and he said, it is my fault. Why? All right. Let's suppose a person comes to me tonight, and suppose that Brother Weaver offends me. He hurts me. He says something he shouldn't say, and he hurts me. That's my fault. You say, he said it, something offensive, and hurt me? Yes, yes. Yeah, that's my fault. Hold it. You say, he said something to you that was improper and offensive, and it's your fault. Yeah, that's what it said. It's my fault. Why is it my fault? Because I'm supposed to be dead. I'm supposed to die daily. If I die daily, I can't be offended. You can't offend a dead man. So if I am what I ought to be, Brother Weaver can't offend me because I'm a dead man. And so if he offends me, it is not his fault. It's my fault because I'm not supposed to be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So it's my fault. Now, I may as well warn you this. The more you love and grow in love, the lonelier you're going to be. And I may as well warn you about this. You may as well get used to it. The deeper you love, more deeply you love, and the more you love like God, the harder it's going to be on you. And it can kill you if you don't listen to what I'm going to tell you to do tonight. It can kill you. Why? Because you are separating yourself from human love, and you will not have the love that you give given back or reciprocated. Are you following me? All right? So as you grow in love, you will be more lonely. As you grow in love, you will feel less love. That's exactly what Paul said. Look at verse 15 there. He said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You think they loved him less? No. He thought they loved him less because he loved them more. And the farther, the deeper his love became for them, and the more he loved them, the less like his love was their love, and he did not feel as loved as he did when the love was the same even though he loved less. Now, you must decide between God. Now, here's a key statement in my Bible lesson tonight. Follow this. You must decide in your life between God getting love near to his or you're getting love near to yours. You've got to decide that. Let me say it again. You've got to decide. Now, most of you are decided. You want love near yours. Because, you see, your purpose in life is to be loved. But you're going to have to decide in life whether you give God love nearer his love or you get love nearer your love. Because the more you give to God the love he ought to have, the farther you're going to be away from man's love. Stand back up there again, fellas, where you were right there. The face this way, Mr. Jorgensen. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Jorgensen. You're a child of God. Don't you want God to have the love he deserves? All right? So as you grow in loving him more. Now, God, you're enjoying him more now, right? Because he's loving you more like you love him. Right? And that's more enjoyable for you, isn't it? All right? Are you enjoying his love as much as you did? Not as much because you're not getting back what you give. Don't turn around. All right? He continues to grow in the love of Christ. Stop right there. God, are you loving him more now than you were? Are you enjoying it more now than you were? Boy, that's a good one. You're enjoying it more now. Why? But the whole sentence. What's closer to what? Yeah, you are college president, aren't you? Okay. All right. So, his love for you is closer to your love for him now, right? And so, you enjoy it because you want to be loved like you love. Is that right? All right. And you want to be loved like you love too, don't you? All right. Are you being loved like you love? No. Stay out of this. Anything I hate is somebody that's smarter than I am. All right. So, but from him, you're not getting what you want, are you? Because you want what you're giving to him, right? But you're giving to him more what he wants. Is that right? All right, grow a little more. All right, now I'm asking a question. Do you feel more loved by him or less loved by him? Do you love him more or less? Do you feel more loved by him or less loved by him? God, more loved by him. So the more you feel loved by him, the less he feels loved by him. Why? Because human love is so shallow and so weak and so sensuous and so flimsy and so carnal that if anybody ever gets close to loving God like God loves, the guy doesn't feel love. Okay, ask you a question. What decision has he got to make? He's got to make one decision. Does he want God to feel love or himself to feel love? That's the decision. If he wants to feel love, he's got to go back down here, right? Stop there. Now, do you feel less love or more love now? Less. Because his love is not as much near what yours is. Consequently, you've decided. You've got to decide whether you want to feel love from him or want God to feel love from you. Thank you, gentlemen. So I say it again. You must decide between God getting love nearer to his or you're getting love nearer to yours. Now, I'm going to give you three answers here. One, you must realize that the great secret to any relationship is that the stronger must realize he will never get what he gives. Listen to me. You can't grow in grace and have human relationships if you don't stop and realize you're never going to get what you give. There are few people that can love. If you grow in the love of Christ and you get to a place where you love more like God's, you can give God love more like he wants and more like he gives. Then you will have grown away from the normal love that man gives to man. Consequently, hear me carefully. You can't let this thing destroy you. You've got to stop and realize that what love he gives you. Stand up again, fellas. And get up here, Jorgensen. Dr. Jorgensen, grown in grace. And he loves God more like God loves. Is that right? God, you enjoy that, right? All right. Now turn around here. But you're not enjoying his love as much as you were. All right, now what you've got to do, Mr. Jorgensen, you've got to not revel in his love for you, but in your love for him. You've got to, okay, enjoy what you get. Now illustrate. Think what God has to accept his love. You don't believe it? You look at the average PTO club program sometime. Now, second thought, don't. Let me tell you what it is. But look at that mess. It's gibberish. I mean, you stop and think, God is love, and God is the great heart of love. And you stop and think, what kind of love God gets from us? Now, what is it? How does God keep losing his mind? It's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? How does God keep going wacky? I'll tell you what. God is willing to accept from us whatever love we give him and find his great satisfaction in loving us. Now, let's take a child. Okay? A little child comes from the office door, puts his mouth down on the door and says, "I want to move my house." You think he does? As much as a child can. Now, I know that child doesn't feel for me what I feel for him. But do I get all upshook about it? No, I accept it. I'll take what I can get. Well, you want to give me some sugar? And they always come with their mouths open. And slobbering all over me, you know. And I love it. I love it. Now, do you think I'm saying to myself, well, thank God that child is loving me just like I love that child? You think, listen, mothers and fathers, you think that little 2-year-old child loves you as much as you love him? Well, you're going to throw him out in the garbage because he doesn't? No, you're going to enjoy a little every pat on the cheek you can get. Is that right? Now, that's what you're going to have to do, Mr. Jorgensen. You're going to have to stop and realize, you sorry rascal, you. You're going to have to stop and realize that the big thing is he needs love. He is love. And not many, listen, the whole world loves like he loves. But almost nobody, well, nobody loves like he loves. And almost nobody gets anywhere close to that. So you're going to have to realize that it's not too big a price to pay. For you not to feel love from him like you love him. And accept what you can get. Treat him like he's a little child. Enjoy what he gives you. Now, like you would a baby. Thank you. Now, fellas, you can be seated and I'll may use you again later. All right? Enjoy what you can get from him. If you expect to grow in his love and feel his love like you feel for him, you're crazy. You can't do that. You know, I hurt for you to understand what I'm saying tonight. I just hurt for you to understand it. That's why you don't get along with people. That's why you have your troubles. You know one reason why I don't hate anybody? It's because my happiness does not depend on people loving me. Why in the world should I let my happiness depend upon a bunch of folks with that kind of love when I got a God with that kind of love? Why should I whine because that's the kind of love I'm getting from man when that's the kind of love I'm getting from God? So if somebody betrays me, I don't quit loving them. Somebody gets mad at me, tries to hurt me, I don't quit loving them. Somebody tries to destroy me, I don't quit loving them. Why? Because I'm not expecting the kind of love that I give. Now, occasionally, you'll cross somebody. As you grow in grace, you'll cross the paths of people that can love like you love, if you've grown in love. If you want God to get what God wants, you're going to have to love more like he loves. And the more you love like he loves, the less you're going to feel love with the folks that love like man loves. Now, I'm going to say this also. You're going to have to not get bitter when they turn on you. Illustration. Becky, our oldest girl, she's now 36. She's 3 now in my mind. Becky, you love Daddy? Oh, Daddy. Would you give me a kiss? Will you hug my neck?
Yes, sir.
Becky, would you make me a promise? And by the way, she made this promise. Would you make me a promise? Would you promise me that you would never find a guy that you love more than Daddy and marry him?
I'll promise.
And she meant it. Linda? She's now 30. She's 3 in our conversation now. Linda, I love you.
I love you too, Daddy.
Do I like that? Do I think for a second she loves me like I love her? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. But am I miserable about it? I don't say, well, good night, Linda. You little 3-year-old brat, you. I love you more than you love me. That's the way you couples talk. That's the way you sweethearts talk to each other.
You don't act like you did.
Your note today wasn't as sweet as it was yesterday. Yesterday there were 36 I love yous and today only 33. Your love is growing cold. Now, Linda, would you promise Daddy something?
Yes, sir.
Would you promise Daddy that you'll never get married and find a fellow you love more than you love your Daddy?
Yes, sir, I promise.
Cindy, she's 28 now. She's 3 in our conversation. Cindy, you love Daddy?
I love you, Daddy.
Would you make Daddy a promise?
Yes, sir.
Would you promise me you'll never find a guy that you love more than you do me? You'll never take off and marry him?
Yes, sir.
Several years pass. I was standing right there saying her mother and I do. Well, you know what I said to her up there and they're standing outside that door before we walk down the aisle? I said, you don't love me. You promised me you'd never do this. You love that crazy Tim Smith more than you love me. I don't understand that. You love Johnny Murphy, can't think of all my sons-in-law. Won't you love me? I don't understand that. And you little baby, you love Jack Scott. Won't you love me? I did sure can't understand that. Yeah, you turned on me.
Is that the way you felt about it?
No, but they turned on you. They found somebody they loved more than they loved you. Did you get upset about it? No. Why? Because you knew it would happen. Then if you could love like God loves, you wouldn't be upset when baby Christians turn on you either. You'd love them as much as you did before. Why? Because that's the way God loves. Consequently, to keep from dying, you're going to have to do 2 things. First is you're going to have to expect a less love than you give. I'm talking some men here tonight. You love more deeply than your wife does. And you're nagging, trying to get her to love you like you love her. I'm talking to some women. And in your case, you're the one who loves more deeply than the husband. And you're hurting on the inside because he doesn't love you like you love him. You can't do that. You've got to love him. You've got to make the loving of him your big object. And the more you have the love of God in you, the truer the love that you can give to Him is. It's a poor statement, but it's true. And you've got to not be hurt because He is a child in His love, or she is a child in her love, or not maybe a child, but less mature than you are. You've got to find your love in 3 things. His wonderful love for you. Your being to Him more what He needs to be. And accepting from Him all that He can give you. Now, in this room tonight, there are people who love me. I do not know who you are, but there are people in this room tonight, I'm convinced, who would die for me just like that. And there are folks in this room tonight, if I did not speak to you again, you would love me till death. There are folks in this room tonight who will love me until I make you mad one time in a sermon, accidentally, and you'll go join another church somewhere. Now, the first person comes to see me, and if I feel that love, And they say, "Preacher, you have no idea how much I love you." A man told me just last Sunday night, he said, "Preacher, I don't love any living human being as much as I love you." I think he meant it. And I enjoyed it. But if a baby Christian comes to me, or anywhere in between a baby Christian and that man's love, "You just give me anything." Look, you got me anything as I got. You don't turn anything down. Just give me what you can. Walk up and say, if I know you're going to get mad and leave next Sunday, just tell me today. I enjoyed that sermon. I'll take it. Why? I'm not expecting you to love me like I love you. Now, if you do, it's a good bonus. But I'm not expecting that. My great desire is to love him like he ought to be loved. Not Dr. Evans, but God. My great desire is to love God like he wants to be loved. Now, as I love him like he wants to be loved, I will have more love to give to you. But to those of you who are not giving your life, and your big goal is not to give God the love that he deserves, there's going to be some distance between your love and my love. I'm going to have to find my joy in loving you, in being to him as near as I can what he needs me to be, and in accepting whatever form of love you give me. Now, here's a mother who's close to a daughter. Take one of you teenagers. Close to a daughter. And the daughter comes in at night and says, "I love you, mother," and kisses mother. And says, "Hi, Dad." Next night, she comes. The next morning, she leaves. She kisses mother goodbye. "I love you, mother." "Bye, Dad. Have a good day, Dad." "Now, wait a minute. Don't leave me." She comes in that night. Here's Dad and Mom waiting. She kisses mother. "I love you, mother." "Hi, old man." "Oh, hi, Dad." "Hi, Dad." "Dad, I got a surprise for you tonight. I cooked supper. I asked Mom if I could cook supper for you." "You did?" "Yeah, and I cooked your favorite food. Big Macs, French fries, and chocolate shakes. Now, I fixed your favorite food. I really did, Dad. I've cooked your favorite meal tonight, and I asked Mom if I could." Dad sits down, he pouts. "Why are you pouting?" "You kissed your mother. Told her you loved her. You didn't kiss me." "Dad, when it comes to a teenager, you take anything you can get. You see, we speak different languages to different people. These men on the platform here, I love all of them, except Moffitt. I love all of them. I love them all. But I don't express it to all of them the same way. They speak different languages of love. You understand what I'm saying? Some of them will come to me with tears in their eyes and say, 'I love you, preacher.' Sometimes one of them will come to me and throw his arms around me and say, 'I love you like you're my own son or father.' Now, that's the way they do it. Another guy may walk up and not be quite as gushy, and he may just sort of hit me on the shoulder and say, 'You're the best guy I know.' I don't walk to him and say, 'You didn't hug me and say, I love you more than love.' He's not that kind. Look, Dad, you take whatever language that teenager uses to say, 'I love you,' and be glad to get it. And whatever degree of love you get from anybody, you be glad to get it. But don't you live a life like Paul lived. Paul got caught up in this thing. He loved these Corinthian people so much, he wanted them to love him back like he loved them. And he writes and he says, 'The more I love, the less I'm loved. And I apologize to you because I expected you.'" But he said, that's not true. He said, "The child doesn't save money for the mother and father. The mother and father save money for the child. And the strongest of the two has to be the one to accept the difference in the expression of love and the depth of love." I want to make five conclusions. One is, shorten the distance between God's love for you and your love for him. Shorten that distance. Do all you can to spend enough time with him so you can grow in grace, so you can learn to love him more like he loves you. I feel so sorry for God. God has almost nobody that can love him anywhere near like he loves them. He has no one that can love him like he loves them. No one. And he has almost no one that comes close. He's got to settle for that love down there that old Claire has. He's got to settle for it. But God is delighted in it. God wants us to love him with whatever degree of love we can give him. But don't you think the great heart of God every once in a while hungers for somebody to love him sort of like he loves? May I say this, and I'm not saying I do, but that's one of the three great goals in my life. That's one of the three great goals in my life. I want somehow to learn to love with the love of God so much that God will feel that my love for him is getting close to his love for me. I want God to get more love. That's why God made me, was for his praise and honor and glory. But now when I do that, I must be ready for this. As I lengthen the distance, as I shorten the distance between God's love and my love, I lengthen the distance between my love and the love of others. So this will lengthen the distance between your love for others and their love for you. Number three, you get your satisfaction from loving and not being loved. You bask in his love. Enjoy what you do receive. And you can live like that. Paul got to go crazy. He really was. Paul was absolutely, look, as near as any man who ever lived in this world, Paul loved God like God loved Paul. And Paul looks at those Corinthian people. And he took his eyes off the love of God and did not let the love of God satisfy him. And in so doing, he became hungry for the love from man like he gave to man. You pastors, as you grow in grace, and as you love your people for year after year after year, young preachers, ministerial students, you're going to walk away from your pulpit many a time and walk to your office. And if you don't watch it, you'll be hungry for the kind of love that you give. So before you have a chance for that appetite to grab you, you look up at his love for you and shout. Let him satisfy your desire to be loved. And let human love be a delightful bonus that you accept to whatever degree they have to offer it. Now, it's a little deep for most of you, probably. And that's proof of what I'm saying. That's whole proof. You guys down here on the front, you got a girlfriend? I didn't think you would. It just takes more than you've got. But you got a girlfriend? You got a girlfriend? That's something. Ugliest guy down here is the only one that's got a girlfriend. I guarantee you, if you got a girlfriend, you love her? Yeah, okay. I guarantee you. That's why you toss and tumble at night. I wonder if she's thinking about me. No, she's not. Now you're really worried, aren't you? You'll toss and tumble all night tonight. But what difference? See, that's what makes you have trouble. And so you come meet her the next day and you say, were you thinking about me last night at 8:59? 8:59. No, I was asleep at church. You don't love me anymore. She may love you as much as she can love. But you have trouble. See, the stronger has got to be the one who keeps peace. Because the stronger must realize that his joy should be in loving instead of being loved. That's what the mother realizes for the child. That's what the father realizes for his son. No hope to get that love reciprocated or returned. None at all. But that doesn't matter. Just love me, son, as much as you can love me. That's all I expect. And I'll find my joy in loving you as much as I can love you. And then I'll also find my joy in God's love for me and my trying to be to God what God wants me to be. Now, somewhere in here tonight, I put my finger on every fuss you have. I put my finger on every quarrel you have in every relationship. You are not getting what you are giving. But it's humanly impossible. Well, it's nearly humanly impossible to find two people going to love to exactly the same degree. So why don't you just say, God loves me with perfect love. And I want to love Him with a love as near perfect as possible. And as I grow in love for Him, my love for others is going to grow deeper all the time. But I'll not expect others to love me like I love them. I just want others to love me. I've said this often. I don't mind if everybody in this room loves Brother Colston more than you love me. I think you'd be dumb if you did, but I don't mind that. I don't mind at all. I don't mind. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There are 11 men on the platform. I don't mind if you love me 12th on this platform. Personally, I think I'm the most lovable person up here. But I don't mind if you love me 12th on this platform as long as you love me. That's all. That's all I ask is for you to love me. You don't have to love me as much as you love them. You don't have to love me as much as I love you. I just ask you to love me. That's all. And whatever I can get, I'll take it. It may be a kiss from a little 2-year-old boy or girl. It may be an I-wavu under the door of a little child that can't talk plainly. It may be a kind note from a teenager who says, Preacher, you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. Or it may be the depth of love from a mature Christian who's walked with God for 50 years, who knows the love of Christ, and can come close, if not equal, the love that I give to Him. But whatever it is, I just ask you to love me, that's all. And I'll not ask you to love me like I love you. I'll find my joy in three things. In loving you, in your giving me whatever degree of love you give to me, and in the fact that I am loved with the only perfect love known to man, the love of God. Shall we stand, please?